The last chapter of Likutei Moran that we had learned was Torah Lamed Aleph, in Chelek Aleph. We had just finished it in the previous year. And this Torah Likutei Moran, in a lot of ways, was difficult. One person might find something easier, another person more difficult. But in terms of the topic, the nature of the topic, some of the things that Rabbeinu Zal spoke about were on a very high level, especially the topic of kisufin nigdusha, a person having yearning and retzoinois and kisufin. And Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the dalet nichnesu lepardes, a lot of deep things. What I'd like to try to do in this shiur is to go back and go through the Torah and clarify a lot of the items based on how Rav Nosson Zal explains them in Likutei Halachos, number one. Number one, to make lighter, to make easier to understand. And number two, to add a lot of practical lemaisa that Rav Nosson Zal takes the Likutei Moran, takes what Rabbeinu Zal seems to present in an abstract and gives it to us in a very clear ma'asi way for us to be able to apply. The first topic that Rabbeinu Zal spoke about was tzedakah, and he mentioned that tzedakah is a concept of galgalim. And he just mentioning the topic of Galgalim, the stars, the planets, and the 12 constellations. Regarding this topic, stargazing, and in terms of to what degree we believe in looking in the stars, etc., we certainly follow the opinion of the Ramban in this item. This is an example of one of the items where the Rambam and the Ramban disagree. The Rambam says that there's no such thing as that the stars have no value at all in terms of being able to tell a person any future, anything about the future, or anything about a person's own midos, etc. And the Ramban is chilek, very strong, based on, number one, based on tens of statements in the Gemara, in the Medrash, where the Gemara says very, very clearly that the Gemara gives an example that Rav Nachman's mother was told by stargazers that he would have it in his nature to steal. And the Gemara shows very clearly that she respected their opinion, and because of that she was extra cautious to make sure that he had his head covered at all times. Because the head covering is the Yiras Shamayim of a person, and that's a protection against the person having a weakening of Yiras Shamayim. And the Gemara tells a story that one time his head covering fell off, and immediately there was aroused in him an intense desire to steal. That's just one example of tens of examples that are found throughout, showing us that this concept of the stars and the mazolos and the koich veileches definitely having in them, number one, information, knowledge of the future, and to a degree, there's a possibility, there exists a possibility, a potential for them to control the future. By Goyim, when it comes to Goyim, there in most cases, Kaviyochel, Hashem gives over their destiny to the stars. To be shown in the stars, number one, they can look in the stars and to a degree see what their destiny is, and number two, that they are controlled by it. We have an example by Yetzias Mitzrayim, where Paro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we looked into the stars and we saw Ro Neged Panechem. We saw by a certain star, it showed bad forebodings for Bnei Yisrael, blood. It showed that there was blood for Bnei Yisrael, which Paro interpreted as death, murder, destruction for Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara says that Hashem turned it around l'toiv, that the zchus of Moshe Rabbeinu, the zchus of Bnei Yisrael, and the chesed of Hashem, Hashem changed that, instead of the blood, which it seemed to be foreboding, the Yidden were yoytzei that with Dam Pesach, Dam Mila, the fact that they had a bris mila before going into Eretz Yisrael. Some of them were malad by Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, in order to have the Korban Pesach, and some for before entering into Eretz Yisrael. But we see that the Gemara doesn't say it's meaningless or anything. On the contrary, the Gemara gives significance to it. Just the fact that Ein Mazal Yisrael, even that's a machloikas. The Gemara brings a machloikas between different Amoroim. One says Yesh Mazal Yisrael, the other one says Yesh Ein Mazal Yisrael. The Psak Halacha is that Ein Mazal Yisrael, meaning that even when the mazolos would show a certain thing, it's possible for a Jew through tefillah or through a ma'aseh mitzvah, a certain very powerful ma'aseh mitzvah, to override that. The famous story with Rabbi Akiva's daughter, where again they saw that she was destined to die on her wedding day, and because she was presented with a test, middle of the wedding, a time when a person is so preoccupied with themselves, they're getting all the attention, the spotlight is on them and everything, and a raggedy poor person came to the door, and she gave away her own portion. The Gemara shows how that caused a miracle. They saw a snake, they saw a dead snake in her items, showing that the snake was there, and the snake almost had the ability to kill her. Because she was zeichet to pass a certain test, she was able to override what was predestined in the mazolos. So Rabbeinu Zal says here that these seven koyach ve'leches and the yud beis mazolos have certain koyach in them. And Rabbeinu Zal says that tzedakah has the power to control them to a degree, to control them and to affect them. Then Rabbeinu Zal says that where do we see the connection between tzedakah and this predestination or this control? The fact that the Gemara says that a person giving tzedakah is blessed. There's a concept of 6 brachos and 11 brachos by tzedakah. The one that gives money to a poor man, the Gemara says, gets 6 brachos. The one who is mefaisoi bedvorim, who says a good word, who through dibur makes the poor person feel better, that person gets 11 brachos. The 11 and the 6, Rabbeinu Zal says, correspond to the 12 and 7, the 12 mazolos, the 12 constellations of stars, and the Zion koich veileches, which contain in them the whole destiny and future of the world. So therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says, we see that tzedakah has a connection to them, a control over them. However, Rabbeinu Zal says, you'll observe that the numbers don't jive, that whereas the destiny of the world is determined by 12 and 7, we said, tzedakah only has in it 11 and 6. Rabbeinu Zal explained, you're right. You should know that tzedakah alone is not enough. It's only when tzedakah has with it emunah is mashlim. Until there's emunah, everything is choser, and with emunah, we mashlim it. And Rabbeinu Zal shows how tzedakah, the Gemara stresses that the ikar tzedakah is on Shabbos, and Shabbos is the symbol of emunah. The Gemara says that a person who keeps Shabbos, it's as if they kept all mitzvahs of the Torah. A person who doesn't keep Shabbos is considered like an oyved avodah zarah, like they don't believe in Hashem. And the Gemara says that the ikar tzedakah is on Shabbos. So Rabbeinu Zal says that emunah is what completes the numbers. The emunah gets added to the 6 and makes it 7. The emunah gets added to the 11 and makes it 12. And that's what brings a shlemus to it. And that's the shlemus of shefa coming down from heaven. Because the shefa is controlled on one level by this 12 and 7. When a person zeichet to tzedakah with emunah, then that person is using their tzedakah and emunah to control those 12 and 7, to control the whole ma'arechet in Shamayim. And then Rabbeinu Zal says, you should know that emunah alone isn't solid. Emunah is only real solid when it's connected to Tikkun HaBris. Rabbeinu Zal quotes a pasuk, ubrisi ne'emenes loi, that emunah, ne'emenes, emunah is connected to bris. And Rabbeinu Zal says also that we see that Shabbos is both of these. Shabbos, which is called the mekoyer habracha, which means that just like there are people that look to these Yud Beis Mazolos and Zayin Koich Veileches to give them everything, that everything comes from there, and in fact the Gemara says that there isn't a blade of grass on earth that's able to produce any food, a blade of grass or a tree or anything, without a Koichov Milmala, a star, a corresponding star that controls it. So we see that there is this control. The Shefa does originate by the stars. It's just that the Yidden have a power and an ability through tzedakah with emunah and tikkun habris to control the stars. Whatever the stars have a koyach of 12 and 7. The tzedakah with emunah and tikkun habris is also this 12 and 7. Rav Nosson Zal Nikutei Halachos says that this is the whole concept of tefillah. Because tefillah, if a person believes in Hashem, a person davens to Hashem. to the degree that a person is mispalel and to the degree of kavona that a person has in tefillah, that's to the degree that a person really believes in Hashem. There's a pasuk, oidia emunascha b'fi. I inform Hashem kavyochol of my faith with my mouth. It's relative. A person's faith is relative to the degree that they speak to Hashem, the quantity and quality of how they speak to Hashem. Therefore, Rav Nosson Zal says, you'll see, and this whole connection between tzedakah and emunah and bris is the whole yesoid of tefillah, because the most important part of our tefillah is the Shmon Esrei. The Shmon Esrei is koilel, everything that a Jew has, all the bakoshos that a Jew has, all the requests that a Jew has are contained in Shmon Esrei, plus the three brachos in front and three in the back, which represent the shvachos shel mokoyim, so that Shmon Esrei is the real shleimus ha-tefillah. Our Shmon Esrei is a total of 19 brachos, 12 plus 7. And the 19 brachos are also 18 plus 1. Rav Nosson Zal explains that the number 18 is always a concept of bris, because the tzaddik, the Zohar HaKodesh says, man tzaddik, man denotar bris, that the tzaddik is the term that's attributed to one who has tikkun habris, Yosef HaTzaddik, who passed the test with tikkun habris, Boaz HaTzaddik specifically. So the number 18 represents the bris. The one additional bracha. Originally, the Shmon Esrei was 18 brachos. They added a bracha. The Gemara says that the Shmon Esrei, in a sense, was incomplete until the Bezna of Rabban Gamliel came along and they saw that there was a Hiskabrus Haminim. They saw that with our 18 brachos, there was still something missing. It was still possible for the apikursim, the minim, vola malshinim, and minim, those who are koifrim, it was still possible for them to be mezgaber against Klal Yisrael. So they went and they were mesakein a 19th bracha. That bracha is the bracha of emuna, where we say vola malshinim al tisikva, v'chol arishik rega toived. We want the koifrim. Minim means those who are kofer and Hashem, the opposite of emuna. To obliterate them means to be mechazek the emuna. That's this 19th bracha, that's this one, this emuna, which is mashlim everything. With that, our Shmoin Esrei contains all of these powers that we spoke about. The pasuk says that by Avram Avinu, that's quoted in this Torah, vehem in bashem, vayachshaveh olo itztaka, that emuna, which is synonymous with tefillah, is a form of tzedakah. So that our Shmoin Esrei is an inyan of tzedakah, and Shmoin Esrei has in it 18 brachos, which represent tikkun habris, tzaddik chai almin. The tzaddik is always called chai. The Gemara says, tzaddikim b'misosam kruyim chayim, and rishoyim b'chayayim kruyim esim. So the number chai represents tikkun habris, and the additional one is the emunah. This 19th bracha, which represents the Shleimus HaEmunah, corresponding to this 12 and 7, showing that when a person stands Shmoin Esrei, the person's acknowledging that there is this system in heaven. There is this 12 and 7, and there is a potential for them to determine my destiny. Therefore, in order to override them, and in order to unplug them, and to receive my Shefa, not via them, but via their boss, the Hashem who's Mashpia, the Malachim who are Mashpia to the Koichovim, and then go above the Malachim direct to Hashem who's Mashpia to the Malachim, that's why I'm davening Shmoin Esrei. I'm following the same pattern, I'm going through those same pipes, but I'm going above them. I acknowledge the 19 pipes, and I'm going to their source, which is Hashem himself. Rav Nosson Zal also explains, in terms of emphasizing this concept of emuna, of everything being choser without emuna, take a look at how Hashem created the world. One of the questions Rav Nosson Zal asks is the famous question that the Medrash has. If Hashem wanted a Jew to have a bris milah, how come he didn't create a Jewish child with a bris? How come kaviyochel Hashem created, you mean to say Hashem created a child incomplete? And we're going to fix up Hashem's work. Hashem didn't do a good job. We're going in with our knife and we're going to fix up what Hashem did. And the Medrash says most definitely that this is exactly what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted, but after that, the world should be incomplete and that Yidden should have the schus of completing it. Why? With what did Hashem create the world originally? with Chachma. The Pasuk says, Kulam b'Chachma osisa. Hashem created everything with Chachma. And with Chachma, Hashem wanted to teach us that Chachma is incomplete. Proof is that wheat grows. Can you eat wheat? No. You have to take the wheat, you have to separate the chaff, the outside, and pull out the kernel. Then you have to take the kernel and grind it up. And then you have to select the quality, the choicest part, when you ground it up, to separate the subin, the cheaper quality grain, from the higher quality. Then you have to mix it with water and knead it and bake it with fire. You have to go through 10 procedures before you're ready for bread. And bread is one of the most basic needs of a person. We're not talking luxury. Person could say, no, Hashem made everything perfect. Hashem gave us all the basics. If you want luxuries, do it yourself. That's not true, because the most basic item, which is lechem, Hashem didn't create it complete. Hashem made it that 10 steps have to be done before. Why? Because Hashem wanted to teach us that with chachma alone, there's no shleimus. The shleimus comes with emuna. That if a person is mamin, the whole ability to draw rain, the whole concept of being able to draw rain, which comes through tefillah, and the whole concept of a Jew's work and effort in doing it, is all symbolic of this emunah, where a person shows that they have the ability, that a person shows, number one, that they don't understand everything. Because Rav Nosson Zal asks, why did Hashem do it this way? The answer is that if Hashem would have created everything in its final form, there wouldn't be any Bechira. Because the final form of creation, when this world is going to reach a Shlemus, which it's not, that's not the case now, there's not going to be any Bechira anymore. People are going to be able to see Hashem. They're going to be able to see that the purpose of the whole creation was to serve Hashem. Just as when Hashem sent mon down from heaven, and the mon was something that was ready, it wasn't wheat, it was food in its final form, ready-made. We once mentioned that the word mon, the Yidden, it says, the Torah says, they called it, they said, mon hu ki lo yodu mahu. They said, this is mon, because they didn't know what it is. The words mon hu make up the word emuna. Those five letters, mem, nun, he, vov, aleph, mon, hu, spell the word emuna, and the next words are, ki lo yodu mahu, because they didn't know what it is. Lo yodea means believe. A person could only believe in what they don't understand. Will you understand? There's no shaychus of emuna. So that was an example where the emuna reached a shleimus, where they didn't need to have this chisorim, everything lacking. Hashem was able to give them really complete, ready-made, everything ready to eat. Because of the vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdoi, their emuna reached such a height, they were worthy of it. And the emuna was mashlem the bria. Whereas, in order for us to have bechira today, in order for it to be possible for a person to be deceived and not know the purpose of creation, not know that there's a Hashem, not know to worship the to serve the Torah, etc., Hashem left things in an incomplete form. Now it's incomplete. Now you do with it what you want. A person could, just like we said with the Oisiyos HaTorah, they by themselves can't move. It's the way that a person is metzaya them, the way that a person forms them, either for good or for bad, the Torah will either become a sam chayim or sam oves for that person. So too with the whole bria, with the whole world. Hashem created it in such a way where things are incomplete. Now the person has to complete it. Now some people are going to be silly enough, because they see that they do a lot. We do. We make. Hashem didn't make bread. If people saw bread coming in its final form, there wouldn't be any question at all that there's Hashem. But because the bread is choser, and a person doesn't see a ready-built house, they have to take trees and chop it down and start putting it together from scratch, that's where some people are deceived into thinking there is no Hashem. There's no perfection. Look how imperfect it is. You got to do everything yourself. We're the ones who are everything. We, the humans, are everything. Proof is, look how the world would be without us. The world without man is zero. And Kav Yochel Hashem did it this way, bedavka, to leave that bechira, so that there is this possibility of a person making that mistake. Or, if a person wants to look for the emes, then a person will find the Hashem even in this chisaron. He'll understand that this was the kindness of Hashem that he wanted to be mishtate for us in the Bria. This is why Rav Nosson Zal says there's a pasuk, what did Hashem use to create the world with? The Torah. The Medrash says, the Medrash Rabbah begins with the words, Vo'eheye etzloi omun. The Torah says, I was the omun of Hashem. So the Medrash says, Al tikri omun elo uman. That the Torah was the uman of Hashem, it was the craftsman of Hashem, meaning that's what Hashem used. An uman means a person who takes raw materials, gold and silver, and makes a finished product from it. He completes it. A person who takes wood and builds houses or furniture out of it, that's called an uman, a craftsman. The Torah was the craftsman of Hashem, in that the Torah, through the Torah, a Jew is given the ability to take this bria that's choser, that's in a raw state in a sense, and complete it. And it's all dependent on the ritzayin of the person, the kisufin of the person. If a person has good ritzaynos, they complete it in a positive way. And if a person, chas v'shalom, has bad ritzaynos, taivos rois, midos rois, they take this incomplete item and they finish it in a destructive way, in a way that goes against Hashem. One of the items that Rav Nosson Zal stresses related to this Torah Likutei Moran, we know that, for example, the Arizal and other mikubolim presented kavonos, different deep kavonos that a person could have when they're davening, to have in mind certain, by knowing the words of the tefillah and different combinations of them, different names of Hashem that a person's supposed to be thinking of at the time that they're davening, etc. A person doing that makes their tefillah much more effective. Rav Nosson Zal says, but you should know that even with that, there's a tremendous test. There are many people that try doing that and they end up failing. We saw people that did that and went off the path. They became irreligious as a result. They got involved in this knowledge and wisdom and started davening with kavonos and yichudim and went off the path. How did that happen? And Rav Nosson Zal explains again, because this is a form of chokhmah. This is a form of knowledge, wisdom. If a person goes with chokhmah, if a person wants to understand or thinks they understand the secrets of tefillah, then they're limited to the understanding they have. If they're thinking a certain yichud, a certain combination of certain names of Hashem, then it's as if they're limiting their Shemoneh Esrei only to that. Whereas we know, the Gemara says that there's shivim ponim laTorah, that the Torah has 70 different explanations for each item, and each one of the 70 ponim has in it all the other 70 ponim, chesed shebechesed, gvura shebechesed, all the different combinations, which means that the wisdom of Hashem is infinite. So if a person wants to grab hold of some of this wisdom and limit themselves only to that, then by doing that, they're rejecting the rest. They're grabbing onto a small piece of the action, ignoring the rest, and in a sense, making their Shemoneh Esrei much, much smaller than if the person would go with emunah. If a person would say, I'm not saying these words here because I know that this adds up to this name of Hashem. I'm saying these words because I believe that in these words is contained infinite wisdom, and that these words have the power to draw infinite bracha. The Arizal and those other tzaddikim, when they said those kavonos, they didn't make that mistake. They had their kavona, but they understood that that wasn't the whole picture. That was a tiny, tiny fraction. That was a connection to something much, much bigger. The mistake that many people make when they become knowledgeable, they learn a lot, and they think they know already. They think they understand, and they limit Hashem to their understanding. That's where there's room to make a mistake. They let go of the shlemus, which is the emunah. They don't realize that what I know is still a fraction of the total picture, and I have to rely 99% on the emunah. That's where the mistake, that's where the problems come in. Rabbeinu Zal mentioned in this Torah Likutei Moran two types of Tikkun HaBris, Bris Ilo, Bris Tato. And Rabbeinu Zal said that the Bris Tato represented a concept of purity in Isur Veheter, in things that are forbidden and permissible, Kosher Posel, Tomei Tor, Osur Mutter, the basic items of the Shulchan Aruch, the basic items of Halacha. And Rabbeinu Zal said that the second level of Bris represented Tikkun HaBris, the concept of purity, reaching, achieving a level of purity in dealing with all items related to men and women, those items of Kiddusha, Tikkun HaBris. Rav Nosson Zal emphasizes in Likutei Halachos that because of the fact that the vast majority of people today know and have to be honest with themselves in knowing that even if they achieve a certain degree, let's say the tzaddikim or the talmidei chachamim achieve a certain level of shlemus in iser v'heter, in learning what's permitted and what's not permitted in terms of iser v'heter, when it comes to tikkun habris, the second level of bris, there are very, very few people, very few, that are zeicha to that tikkun habris b'shlemus, and therefore Rav Nosson Zal says the only alternative or the only possibility for those people who aren't zeicha to tikkun habris b'shlemus is to attach themselves to somebody that does have tikkun habris b'shlemus, which means to attach themselves to the tzaddik emes. The tzaddik emes, who is the doyma l'malach Hashem tzvokois, who does have the level of tikkun habris, a person who recognizes their own weakness, a person who's naturally trying to do the best that they can, but realizes that the best that they can isn't enough in a long shot, when we know how strict the Torah is with this, and we know that this is called the foundation of the whole Torah, that person has to know that there's no other possibility for them of success in religion other than if they make it their business to attach themselves solidly to a tzaddik who has the tikkun habris, and they draw what a person's supposed to get from tikkun habris. If the person's lacking it, they draw it to a degree from their connection to the tzaddik. Because there is that pipe, the tzaddik is able to give them to a certain degree all the benefits that a person would normally get from having achieved tikkun habris. Just like the Gemara says, that a kohen is allowed to eat truma. Truma is a type of food, it's reserved, it's special. If a Yisroel eats truma, he's chayev misa. He is chayev misa bidei shamayim. A kohen is allowed to eat truma. A kohen's wife is allowed to eat truma, who doesn't come from family of Kohanim at all whatsoever. She comes from Yisrael, and whatever it is, she's allowed to eat truma. A Kohen's animal is allowed to eat truma. A Yisrael, a Levi, who could know the whole Shas and Shulchan Aruch, isn't allowed to eat truma. And a Kohen's animal is better off, in a sense, than a Yisrael or a Levi in this sense, because he's attached to the Kohen. And Rav Nosson Zal uses this as an example in Likutei. This doesn't mean that an animal, lahavdil, is better than a person, is more a frum than a person, but it shows us that there does exist such a concept of a kedusha that the lowest thing that's attached to the tzaddik can have advantages over somebody that has much, much more religion and isn't attached to the tzaddik, isn't part of the kohen. And the word kohen is synonymous in many cases with tzaddik, because the concept of kehuna, when the Torah speaks about kohanim, that the kohanim were above the other Jews, and a kohen is supposed to be given respect, he's supposed to get the first aliyah to the Torah, he's supposed to be the first one to wash, lechabed oto, the whole reason for that kibud is because the kohen is supposed to be more religious in tikkun habris. A kohen is limited. A Jew is allowed to marry anybody within the Jewish framework. A kohen isn't. A kohen is restricted. He can't marry a woman that's divorced. A kohen gadol is restricted further in tikkun habris. He can't marry an almona even, a woman whose husband died, showing that they represent a higher level of tikkun habris. Because the concept of kahuna is an issue of greater degree of tikkun habris, that's why the kohen is the one who's mamshich brachos. He's the one who has the ability to give a bracha, and he's the one who has the permission to eat this truma, or to allow anybody else that's attached to him to eat the truma.
To be a member of the kahuna, then you just fall in, you walk out, you fall into it, and you're able to eat truma and all that. But as far as connection to tzaddik emes, so there it's more.
On the contrary, it doesn't have being a kohen has nothing to do with luck. Number one, a person is born into it, and a person can destroy it. There's a kohen cholol.
Right, but once you're born into it, there's no effort on the person's part to be able to be more attached, to be able to be just.
Not true. A kohen can. There are many ways that a kohen becomes posel. there's all kinds of possibilities of a Kohen becoming possible, of a Kohen Gadol becoming possible. The whole Masechta Yuma, which deals with the laws of Yom Kippur, begins with the fact that that Yom Kippur, which is the holiest day, the only one, the one that's in charge is the Kohen Gadol. And we separate him 7 days before he starts preparing himself to get ready for it. And he can get messed up thousands of different, during those 7 days he can get messed up. And on Yom Kippur itself, the Gemara says they force him to stay awake all night because if he falls asleep, there's a potential that he'll see Keri. It's not that a Kohen isn't ready made. A Kohen is given a head, in other words, has a certain, just like we say, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Lioilam Haba. It means a person has a seat, a chair reserved for them in Olam Haba. Whether they're going to end up in that chair or not is questionable, is up to the person's bechira, whether they're going to do the right thing or not. A kohen also. A kohen is given a certain slot that has in it all kinds of adornments and everything. To the degree that he fulfills the midah of kahuna, he's zoicha to that or he's not zoicha to that. The Bnei Yisachar brings in one place that there's a stira. Kohen is normally called chesed. We say kohen Levi Yisrael. The kohen is chesed, the Levi is gevura, and the Yisrael is teferis. He says, if that's the case, how does the Gemara say that the kohanim are kabdonim, which means kohanim have bad tempers. They can easily get into kas. That's the opposite of chesed. Chesed is ahavu. And kapdon is the opposite of ahavu. So the Bnei Yisachar explains that that's it. Because the kohen's chair is a chair of chesed, because that's what he is, his test is that he can become, you know, the satan is going to try to make him the opposite of that, which is kapdon. So he's either this or that. Exactly. That's his test, is to be zoicha to chesed, and therefore the thing that the satan will try to do to a kohen specifically is turn him into the opposite of chesed, or the opposite of tikkun abris. Again, all of these examples. We're coming to that right now. Now, one of the next items Rabbi Nizal mentioned, he said that through Tikkun HaBris, a person is zoche to chesed. He quoted the Zohar Kodesh, which said, chesed mizgale bepuma di amo. And Rabbi Nizal explained that chesed meant hishtoikikus and kisufin, a person having yearnings and desires for the right things. Rabbi Nosenzal explains that Tikkun HaBris is called melach. The Pasuk says in the Chumash, Bris Melach Oilam. Melach is salt. A person eats salt, they get thirsty. Thirst means kisufin. The whole concept of being thirsty is tzomol. The Dovid HaMelech says in Tehillim, tzomol lecho nafshi, koma lecho b'sori, be'eretz tziyah v'oyev b'li moyim. That I'm thirsting for Hashem means yearning for Hashem. Rab Nosenzal explains that this is what Rabbeinu Zal means when he says that to the degree, to the extent that a person has Tikkun HaBris, it's to that extent that the person is zoicha to have kisufin digdusha. Because Tikkun HaBris is a concept of a salt. It's a salt that the person has, not physically, spiritual salt. The salt makes thirst, and the thirst is that ability to yearn and crave kedusha, to yearn and desire the right things. And if a person, to the degree that a person is poigem in bris, chas v'shalom, they still have salt. They have the other kind of salt. The salt that gives, that intensifies the person's desires for the wrong things, chas v'shalom. Desires for tumma. Rav Nosenzal explains also that this thirst leads to water. This, in other words, that a person's thirsty, they drink water to satisfy the thirst. Rav Nosenzal says that this thirst itself is also compared, in a sense, to the water, as the pasuk says, "Shifchi kamayim libeich noichach pnei Hashem." The whole concept that when a person starts out, a person has a heart, a lev hoeven, a heart of stone, and the pasuk says about Hashem, "Ha'hoifchi hatzur agam moyim," that Hashem showed a miracle where He took a rock and turned it into a source of water. From the rock, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to draw water, implying the heart of a person, which starts out in its raw form, it's like a stone, and the person's objective is, through Ritzainois and Kisuf and Igdusha, to turn that stone into water, to soften up the heart, to soften up the stone and bring forth water from it. And that's this whole concept of Tzomalecho Nafshi, Komalecho B'sori. Dovra Melech says, I'm yearning, Be'eretz Tziyav Oyev B'li Moyim. When I start yearning, it starts out in this concept of B'li Moyim, an absence of water. And the result of these Kisuf and Igdusha is that it brings forth water. It results in water. Meaning it results in the tikkun for this item. Another point that Rabbeinu Zal went into discussing this concept of Kisuf and Igdusha, and then he spoke about the Dalet Nichnesu LePardes, the four tzaddikim who went into the Pardes, who went to a very high level, and Rabbi Akiva was Nichnas V'yotze B'Sholoim, and Acher went the opposite way, Acher became an Apikoiris, and the other two were in the middle, Ben Azayim Ben Zaymer was somewhere in between. And Rabbeinu Zal stresses that a person should know, a Jew should know, that before a person can be zeuche, the Torah in its initial form is like a goylem, it's a raw item. It's not something that has a shleimus to it, just like wheat or these items. The person, it's up to a person to turn the Torah which way they want, to make the Torah into a sam chayim, or to make the Torah into a sam ovis. Rabbeinu Zal said that happens based on the kisufin and ritzoinois of the person, based on the yearnings. If a person starts the day saying, Hashem, I want to serve you, I want to come close to you, I want to give you respect, I don't want any respect for myself, I want to respect you, a person expresses all kinds of ritzoinois dikdusha, and then sits down to learn, then the Torah for that person becomes a keli for toiv. If a person has themselves in mind, or they have wrong intentions or bad intentions, and a person sits down to study Torah, the Torah becomes fuel and energy and strength to lead that person to the bad that the person wants. That's the way it works. And Rabbeinu Zal explained that for this reason, it's so important for a Jew to constantly be fueling this power of Rotzon, constantly to be yearning for the right things, and speaking out those yearnings and ispoitedus, telling Hashem, I want to serve you, I want to be religious, expressing rotzon toiv. Because then, when that person goes to the Torah, they'll be metzayer, the oisis ha-Torah le-toiv. Rav Nosson Zal says, with this we can understand a very interesting question. How is it that Hashem didn't give the Torah to the Jews until after 26 generations? There were first 26 generations, and then Hashem first gave the Torah. From Adam HaRishon till Moshe Rabbeinu, 26 generations. We said before that the word Rotzon and Kisufin is synonymous with Ahava. Love means having a desire for something. I love this item means I have a very strong desire for it, a very strong Rotzon for it. Those 26 generations that preceded Matan Torah correspond to the 26 Kili Olam Chazdois in Tehillim. Hoyd Lashem Kitoy Kili Olam Chazdoi, the fact that there's a chapter in Tehillim which says Kili Olam Chazdoi 26 times, implying what? Chesed is Rotzon, Kisufin. Rav Nosson Zal says you should know there is a certain Shleimus of Rotzon, of Kisufin, of Ava, that represents 26 Madregos of that. When a person completes the 26 units of Chesed, which means their Rotzon, their Kisuf, and their Chesed is Bishlemus, then they're first allowed to approach the Torah. Then the Torah that person will study won't do them harm, it'll do them good. And if Chas V'Shalom, before that, it could do damage. And it's for this reason that Rav Nosson Zal explains that we find the first Jew to start being Megale, the Torah, notice teaching Torah, was Avram Avinu, who's known as the Isha Chesed. That's what the Torah says about him, Isha Chesed. Because he was Chesed, he was in a position to start in a tiny way the Hizgalus HaTorah. But Rav Nosson Zal stresses that it wasn't until there was an Avram Avinu and a Yitzhak Avinu and a Yaakov Avinu and the Yud Bei Shvotim and all the Tzadikim afterwards, and all of them added their portions of Kisufin, of yearning, Rotzayin Dikdusha, that when all of that added up to a certain Koyma Shlema, that's when Hashem gave the Torah, because only then could the Torah not do harm. Could the Torah have this potential to do good for Bnei Yisrael? Only after it had this hagdoma of 26 Bedafka, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is again Chesed. The fact that there was this Hakdama of Kisufin and Rotzain and Ishtoike, because the Kedusha up front, that made it that the Torah should be constructive and not the opposite. 26 is Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which itself is the symbol of Chesed. 86 or 65 or other numbers are din. Elikim, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud are all din. 26 is itself symbolic of Chesed. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei is the Shem. The Gemara says whenever it says Yud Kei Vav Kei in the Chumash, it means Midas HaChesed. Elikim is din. So there's 26 Chazdois corresponding to these 26 generations where their Avodah was Kisufin, Rotzain and everything, to get to a place where a person's royal at Torah. And Rav Nosson Zal says every single Jew who wants to come to Torah, because we know that Matan Torah wasn't 2,000 years ago, Matan Torah is supposed to take place in every single Jew's life. The Pasuk says, Asher Anoichi Metzavcho Hayoim. There's many psukim stressing Matan Torah is today. A Jew has to know that unless the Jew first precedes their Torah with a lot of ritzoinois and kisufin and hishtoikikus digdusha, that they're running that risk of the Torah being a destructive fire for them, chas v'shalom. The Torah is eish, haloikoi dvoreko eish. The fire can be constructive or destructive based on the kisufin, ritzoinois, and hishtoikikus that saved up before, which means the tefillah. Which means the tefillos, because tefillah is our rotzoin. Tefillah is the rotzoinos and kisufin, where a person takes this rotzoin and puts it into words. And only then, just as the Shulchan Aruch says, the Seder Hayoim of a Jew is supposed to be Shachris, and then from Shachris, they go to the Beis Medrash, the Simonim and Shulchan Aruch. First, we go through the whole Seder at Tefillah, and then after davening, it says the person should learn. Why? Because the whole process of Tefillah, from Maidani until the end of Aleinu L'Shabeach, is all expressing Ritzoinois and Kisuf and Fikdusha, so that when I'll sit down to the Sefer, I'll be able to be Metzayer, the Oisis, Latoiv, and Atlara. As far as a difference, in terms of times, the 6 days of the week versus Shabbos Kodesh. Here again, Rav Nosson Zal stresses that on Shabbos, when we make Kiddush, we say, Bi'ahavo uverotzoin hinchaltonu. That Shabbos is different from the 6 days of the week. The level of ahavo and rotzoin and kisuf and nikdusha that a Jew can be zeichet to on Shabbos is different from the other 6 days of the week. And we say it in the tefillah, Tikanto Shabbos, Rotziso Korban Oiseho, Chemdas Yomim Oisek Rosa. Chemdo means desire, to yearn, to want. That Shabbos is like a factory of Rotzain. Until a person gets to Shabbos at Mincha, which is called Raiva de Raiva, and Rotzain Shebritzainois, where a person builds up the highest, highest level of Rotzain, that's why the Gemara says that the Torah was given on Shabbos. Because only on Shabbos, which represents the ultimate in Rotzain, could a person be zeicha that the Torah that they're given should be letoiva. In other words, to the highest degree. This doesn't mean that a person shouldn't learn any other day other than Shabbos, but it means that, number one, there were many tzaddikim that as far as learning secrets of Torah or a higher level of Torah, they reserved it for Shabbos. Because they knew that because Shabbos has this power of rotzoin and av and kisufin on a higher level, therefore the person's ready also for a higher level of Torah than when they don't have that rotzoin. So too with Eretz Yisrael. When the Gemara says, Ein Torah, Ketoras Eretz Yisrael. Why not? Because Eretz Yisrael is Bechinas Rotzoin. We say it, there's a pasuk, Rotziso Hashem Es Artzecho. Hashem, you wanted your land. And we say in Alamichya, Val Eretz Chemdo Toivor Chavo, Sherotziso Vehinchalto Lavoiseinu. This is the land which Hashem wanted, Rotzoin. This land is a place, is a Mokoim of Rotzoin. Shabbos is an Ace Rotzoin, a time of Rotzoin. And all of these issues of Rotzoinois affect the Torah. They determine to the degree that the Torah is Netzayer Latoiv, the Torah becomes a Sam Chaim, or Chas V'Shalom, the opposite.
You had explained before leading up to Maisa, leading up to, let's say, the rest of the generations leading up to Kabbalah Satara itself.
Right.
So how does one understand, you had mentioned Shabbos, and let's say learning on Shabbos being greater, because the Ratzain is higher on Shabbos. So I understand a Ratzain, there's a Ratzain leading up to the Maisa. How does the Ratzain itself, or the Maisa itself, interact with the Ratzain?
Both. In other words, the Ratzain, it's not a matter of Maisa, it's the Torah. We said that the Torah is like a goylem in a sense. The Torah can go either way, the Gemara says, some chayim, some others. What determines which way the Torah swings? The ritzonos, the kisufin. Period. Which means that when there's ratzon tov, one example of it is the 49 days of Sfira. We mentioned once before, Rav Nosson says in Kutei Halachos, first of all, he says that the whole concept of Pesach preceding Shavuos, Pesach is a nin of chesed. The three holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, correspond to Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov. Pesach corresponds to Avram Avinu. We say Kol Dichven Yesev Yechel. We start the Seder with saying, whoever wants to come and join my table, come and join, which is the mid of Avram Avinu, that Hachnosis Orchim. That's the whole concept of Avram Avinu, Chesed, Ratzoin Hishtoikikus, which precedes Shavuos, which is Matan Torah. The whole concept of the 49 days of Omer, countdown. 1 day, 2 days. Countdown means Ratzon. When a person really wants something, they count the days. Until we get, and how many days do we count? 49 days. What happened with counting the 50th? The 50th day, the Ratzon reaches such a peak that we don't even count it. We can't even say anything, like we're speechless. We go into Shavuos just with Ratzon alone, yearning without even expressing it. That concept. In terms of the connection, again, with the issue of Tikkun HaBris and these Kisufin, one of the items that Rav Nosson Zal brings in talking about these four, Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai Ben Zoyma versus Acher, Rav Nosson Zal says that Acher, one of the things the Gemara says about him right after he became an Apikoiris was, Shetofas Zoyna Bashuk, he grabbed a Zoyna out in the street and he committed a sin. And Rav Nosson Zal says, we see from this, Soifai Mar al Tchilosei, we see from what he did, that this is what his Ritzoinois were, that there was obviously a Pigam in the Ritzoin somewhere that made it that it could come to this. This was the fulfillment. When he received the Oyer, it resulted in this. And Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki afal pi shehoyo lamdan godoil, Umuflog batoira kolkach, even though Acher was a tremendous lamdon and tremendously knowledgeable in Torah, v'hoya biyotoi kol dalid chelke hapardes, Acher had in his possession all four portions of Torah, afal pikein, me'achar shalehoya sholem b'maisov koroi, because his mitzvois and maisim toivim weren't b'shlemus, the koisvov uchukosoi hoya lara, and the kisufin, the desires, weren't on the right track, he had the wrong desires, Alkein motzo es shaloi. Therefore, he found what he was looking for, he found what he wanted. His end was he received what he wanted. And so too, I saw recently, Rav Nosson Zal writes in the Kutei Halachos about Korach, giving the example that he says that in terms of Korach being a lamdon, and he says that Korach knew all the secrets of Kabbalah. The fact that Korach was willing to go ahead and bring the Ketores, the Zohar HaKadosh says that the Korbonos, every one of the korbonos in the Beis HaMikdosh, their power was that they lead up to the Oyer Ein Sof. The korbonos reach up to a very high place in Shamayim. Of all the korbonos, the Ketores is the highest of all of them. The Ketores, but because of the fact that the Ketores is able to take even the chelbana, the worst klipa, and merge it with the Kedusha, we know that the rule is always, when does the Kedusha reach a shlemus? The Kedusha is considered sholem when it's able to take even the worst tumah and integrate it into itself and make it a package that's presentable to Hashem. That represents shlemus, just like the Gemara says. Any tefillah which doesn't have with included in it the tefillah of the Rishon is not sholem, which means that the korban that has the maximum shlemus is that which includes the ra, the chelbana, this foul-smelling odor. The fact that when Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen, we're going to do a test now. You want to see who's bigger, you or Aaron HaKohen? Let's do a test. Let's bring Torahs. So the question is, why was Korach willing to go ahead with it? Rav Nosson Zal explains in the Kutei Halachos. Because Korach had all the knowledge. He knew 100% all the secrets of Kabbalah that a person needed to know to be able to bring Torahs, to be able to bring this offering. What he didn't know was that the knowledge alone, and he thought that that was sufficient, that was enough. And the point that Moshe, that was why he said, when he was chaylik against Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, Ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim, all the Jews are holy. Why are Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen setting themselves apart? They're no different. And the Gemara says his complaint was, Kulam shomu misinai onoichi Hashem alikecha. Everybody heard Matan Torah, meaning, in learning, we're all equal. All of us heard the Aseres HaDibrois, so what makes you any better than me? And Rav Nosson Salk explains that that was his mistake, that he made the learning the ikor. He didn't realize that learning is an introduction. It's once the person has learned, that's when we start separating the men from the boys to see when it comes to asiya, lemaisa, who fulfills what they learned better and who fulfills it worse. That's what determines who's who. A person who learned everything and doesn't fulfill it clearly isn't a success story. So therefore, now when they brought the Ketores, and Korach saw that Aaron HaKohen was successful, and how did he die? A fire came. Some of them died from a fire representing this Torah turning into an Esh to destroy them. By Korach, it says the ground opened up to swallow him up. Rav Nosson Salk says, why Bedafka that? Because we explain in this chapter in the Kutaran that there's two parts. There's the letters and there's the vowels. The oisias of the Torah, which represent a goylam by themselves, and the vowels, which represent the kisufin, the hishtoikikus, the ritzoinos of the person. And they are what give life, they are what drive the letters for good or for the opposite, for bad. It's based on the vowels, which represent the kisufin. If the kisufin are good, the letters on its tarif latoiv, and the opposite. Rabbeinu Zalat said that the letters and the vowels also correspond to the guf and the neshama. Those two, that the oisios represent the guf, the vowels represent the neshama, which is the life. Just like the guf itself is a goylem, it's a dead piece of meat without the neshama in it to drive it, so too the letters correspond to it. Korach's mistake was that he thought that the guf alone, the oisios alone, were enough, that it wasn't, the rotzayin didn't make that much of a difference. Now, the Gemara says, in one place, the Gemara says that when Hashem wants to judge a person in Shamayim, he takes the neshama and the guf and says, both of you have to go to Gehenna because the person did sins. So each one says, not my fault, he did it. A guf can't do any averos. Can a piece of meat do sins? No, it's the neshama that did it. And the neshama says, I would never dream of doing an avera unless you put me in that filthy guf, in that ugly guf. So the Gemara says Hashem takes both of them and brings them together and then punishes them. So the Gemara proves it from a posuk. Yikore el hashamayim me'al. Hashem calls the heaven from above, vel ha'oretz mita, and the earth from below, and brings them together to be judged. We see from there that shamayim is the neshama. The neshama is compared to shamayim. The guf is compared to oretz. Because Korach thought that the guf alone is enough, that the oisyos alone are enough, the learning alone is enough, the maisa doesn't matter that much. His punishment was, he emphasized the guf, so the oretz, which corresponds to the guf, opened up to swallow him, to show him that led to failure. That wasn't enough. That it was only if the maisa matched the learning, that's when the learning was considered to be a success. And Rav Nosson Salk says that this applies to each and every one of us, that a person has to know this concept of milchamtoi shel Torah. The fact that Torah itself is called a milchama, that on one hand, Hashem gives us an obligation. There's a chiyuv to learn Torah, and the chiyuv is day and night. And on the other hand, a person has to know that unless a person is really, really trying very hard to watch themselves, that any time a bad rotzayin comes to them, to fight it off, to push it away, and if they don't succeed in pushing it away, to tell it to Hashem, to tell Hashem, I'm being attacked by these taivois rois, these bad ritzainois, and to beg Hashem to save them from these bad ritzainois, to the degree that a person is battling that, that's the degree that the person is ensuring themselves that their Torah will be latoiv. And if not, then the person's in danger, the person's playing with fire. And also, especially again, to the degree that a person's mekusher to the tzaddik. The tzaddik represents the one who succeeded in this battle. The one whose rotzayin is a pure rotzayin. The tzaddikim are the ones who are zeicha, where the only thing they want is to serve Hashem. To the degree that a person attaches themselves to the tzaddik, they're able to be protected by him. That they're protected, even though the person's own, the Talmud's own rotzayin isn't necessarily where it should be. if they're latched on, if they're holding on perfectly tight, bishleimus, to the tzaddik, they benefit from his ritzonos. His ritzonos protect them, number one, from the Torah doing harm to them, and number two, also give the person the ability, even when they're studying Torah on their own, that the Torah should be constructive. It means the concept of holding on to a tzaddik means, number one, emuna. Emuna is an inyan of iskashrus. For starters, a person has to believe that there is a believe in the concept of tzaddik, meaning believe that even though I am a yo-yo, even though I do averos, even though I can't daven with kavana all the time or even some of the time, I believe that there are people who can. I believe that there's a person who davens with perfect kavona, and there's a person who has perfect tzaddik, etc., etc. Number one. There's number one, that nekuda of an honesty in understanding where I'm at versus that there are those that are completely different from me. This concept of a tzaddik. Number one, to believe in the concept. Number two, to find those tzaddikim. Both those that are physically living and those that aren't physically living. And then attaching oneself to the tzaddik means, number one, fulfilling the ratzon of the tzaddik. Knowing what that tzaddik wants and fulfilling his ratzon. Now, a person would say, then, you didn't make it any easier on me. To be religious, I have to do the whole Torah. And you're telling me emunah in the tzaddik? The answer is, one of the things that tzaddikim do for those that are attached to them is, in a sense, they make it easier. A tzaddik can give a person an instruction to do, one instruction, do this. And if a person just fulfills that one item, a tzaddik says, this is your mitzvah, do this. A person fulfilling the ratzon of the tzaddik, that showed that they believed in that tzaddik, and that showed their respect and attachment to the tzaddik. That could buy the person all the benefits of the tzaddik, the ritzonos of the tzaddik and everything else. For a person to be religious without the tzaddik, he's got to fulfill all 613 mitzvahs, this, that. For a person to have, the benefit of his kashrus to the tzaddik is that sometimes a tzaddik is a person on eitzah, one eitzah, or three eitzahs, in a sense, simplifying the Torah. This doesn't mean that people that are attached to tzaddikim only have to do two mitzvahs, they don't have to do the others. It means that in emphasizing specific items, a person saying, I'm doing this because the tzaddik told me to do it, by showing that emunah, they become part of the tzaddik. They become entitled to eat truma, which the behemah of the tzaddik can eat, and the levi or the Israel can't eat. And they reap the benefits of the tikkun abris, that their own tikkun abris can't protect them. Their own lack of shleimus in tikkun abris can't protect them, but they're under the wing and the protection of the tikkun abris of the tzaddik. Our Rebbe Zichron Vracha mentioned many times, the tail of a lion is a lion. If a person pulls on the tail of a lion, the tail doesn't bite them, the head turns around and bite. So too, a person who's attached to a tzaddik, the lion symbolizes the tzaddik, even if that person is way in the back, he represents the tail of the lion, or the hairs on the tail of the lion, he's all the way in back of the tzaddik, but he's attached. It's not the hairs after they were cut off, detached, it's attached. If a power of evil would want to harm that person, that person has the benefit of the protection of the whole lion, the head of the lion, the whole body of the lion. So it means, number one, recognizing the tzaddik and being mevatel oneself. That here again, it's all to the degree that a person realizes their own lack of shleimus and realizes somebody else's greater degree of shleimus. And because of that, I am botel to that person. Botel means that if that person tells me something to do, I'll do it, even if I don't understand it completely, because again, I understand that my level of understanding isn't the same as that person's. That beetle is part of what makes the kesher. No. They're all connected. They're all one. Shimush being meshamesh at tzaddik is a form of emunah and tzaddik. Would I go pour water for somebody? In other words, would I fill up somebody's cup and serve somebody unless I wasn't ashamed to be making a statement that that person is bigger than me? The whole concept of kibudav, serving a parent. Why? Because that's the parent and I'm the child. And therefore I understand that we're not equal. For an equal, I say do it yourself. For somebody that I'm much smaller than, it's logical and sensible for the smaller to serve the bigger. Kavyochel Hashem created animals and humans, those people who don't eat meat because they believe it's wrong, it's not, number one, it's not healthy, or it's doing harm to the animals, and what right do you have to kill the animal, Rachmon Litzlan? Those people are defeating the purpose of creation. Hashem said that I made a seder. The seder is that humans are above, animals are below, normally. Unfortunately, there are humans who go below the level of animal, and the Gemara says they have no right to eat. Anam Ha'oretz has no right to eat meat. But a person who behaves like a human, when that person eats an animal in a kosher way, they're elevating, they're acknowledging that this is the Seder that Hashem presented in this form, and by me eating the animal, I'm elevating the animal, making it part of a human, bring it up to my level. So too with a Talmud and a Tzaddik. In other words, that concept. The concept of the Talmud showing that he's not equal to the Tzaddik by conducting himself in a way that he shows clearly that he's much, much smaller than the Tzaddik, that shows that he's